Hi, welcome to Exchange CC Podcast. At Exchange, we are about four things: knowing God, making Him known, building His church, and bringing heaven to earth. We pray that these messages would encourage, bless, and help you become all that God's called you to be.
Ah, what a season. Well, I'm going to jump right into my message, but I'm going to premise it with this. I had a word on my heart that I wanted to share, and so I went back into my notes to look at previous messages that I've preached on this topic. And as I was reading the message, it just felt like this message is for now and for today. So I'm basically doing a redo of an old message. I have written another message for today, and I'll use that for another time, but I just couldn't shake it. I really felt like God was wanting to do this. And then I thought, you know, I said to Ellie, is that bad? Is that like cheating? Can I do that? She said, well, any given Sunday, a third of the church is away, is in Tahoe. And most people are going to forget 90% of what you say. So this might likely be the first time you're hearing this message this morning. Amen? So, God is good. And I believe it's still true. His word is still absolute. So, amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for the privilege and the honor of being in church today. Lord, with all of the highs and the lows with our technology, when things go wrong, we know that you're never wrong. Lord, that you are always our anchor. And God, I pray, Lord, that this morning as this word goes out, Lord, it would be more than just my words speaking, God, but you would speak through me. And God, I pray that people would catch what you are speaking to them. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, amen. Did we enjoy our first class church at the Renaissance last week? First class church. Wasn't that awesome that we can go into a hotel, set up, and have a wonderful time? That was really fun. This morning, or last week, I talked about the tension or the contrast between faith and reality, between faith and fact, and how facts are subject to faith. Amen? Yeah. Facts are subject to faith. Many times, Jesus changed people's facts. There were facts that they carried with them. They were blind, they were lame, they were broken, and Jesus changed that. And that's the hope that we have, that same hope today that lives in us, that facts, even though they are telling a story, they are subject to our faith. Amen? If it is according to God's will, God's power is greater than he who is in the world. Amen? Yes. So we can believe and pray and see God do incredible things. And as I thought about that, that message was in the context of counting the cost and what it means for us as men and women of God to count the cross, to count the cost and carry our cross for what God's called us to do. And there will be times in your journey where you will be at a crossroads where God will challenge you or convict you or call you higher to a different season or to a different opportunity, but something has to give. Amen? Sometimes, just like that picture of the monkey with his hand in the jar, holding onto whatever's in the jar, and he can't get his hand out, and so he's trapped. That's sometimes what we do, is we hold onto our last season, the good parts of it, and we don't let it go so that we can move into the new season that God has for us. And that requires us counting the cost and actually stepping out in faith and trusting God. And the word and the message that God put on my heart for today is on the topic of biblical generosity and what it means for us as a church in this season and in this moment to count the cost, for a group of people to count the cost so that in the future there will be another group of people, because in 200 years' time, if Jesus hasn't returned, and wouldn't it be funny if Jesus returned the day we get the keys to the new building? And we bump in and bump out into eternity. Would that just be? That'd be a great humor. Really, Jesus? Really? All right. I don't want to go to hell, by the way, because I know there's bump in and bump out there waiting for me for eternity. So I'm. Thank God for Jesus. Biblical generosity. This is a message that I believe that we need to, that I'm believing for God to impart into the heart of the church. And I'm really believing that as a church, we catch everything that God has for us. I believe this: most people are actually attracted to godly attributes. If someone has a godly attribute, it's attractive. And often, a lot of our youth pastors back in the day would warn us to say to the young men, hey, there might be some women who really find you attractive because of the way in which you treat them, the way in which you speak about them. And it's because we've been growing up in God's word, in God's presence. And, you know, we have to think about that. I think godly attributes are very attractive. For example, the attribute of generosity. Don't you love being with someone who's generous, right? Someone who has a gift of generosity. They fight you. In fact, you probably all know someone that you can go out to lunch with and you know that you're never going to be able to pay because they're going to pay. Do you have someone like this in your life? Yeah. If you don't, you need to find someone like this in your life. Someone that's very generous. As opposed to the opposite, no one likes a stingy person. You don't want to be around someone that all they do is take for you. A biblical definition of generosity is to give cheerfully and freely. Acts 20 verse 35 says this, and I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus: it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so on the opposite spectrum, a stingy person is someone that takes, someone that doesn't want to be generous. When you're out at a restaurant, the same person, when it comes time for the bill, they will somehow be in the restroom on a phone call. They will have to meet someone. They have to leave early. This is the mindset of a stingy person. But a generous person is awesome. Proverbs 23:6 says this: don't eat with people who are stingy. Don't desire their delicacies. They are always thinking about how much it costs. Eat and drink, they say, but they don't mean it. Amen. I hope I'm not the stingy person that you're thinking of. There is a biblical contrast here between a stingy person and a generous person. Proverbs 11:24 says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. This is the opposite of what I was taught growing up as a kid. The opposite. If you borrow or lend something to someone, say goodbye to it because you'll never get it back. I was told to hold what you have tightly. I thank God, as a young youth pastor, I was given the opportunity to do the offering messages at church. And what I realized was I was the stingy person. I was the person who had to undo all of this mentality and this thinking. So the question is how do you know if you're being stingy, and how do you know if you're being generous, if you're a generous person? And more importantly, do we get to decide the definition of generosity? Or should we allow God to decide the definition of generosity? This is a very important question, because if I decide generosity, I'm in control. But if I allow God to decide generosity, now I've entered into a realm of faith, because facts are subject to faith. There have been times where God has pressed upon Ellie and I's heart to step out in generosity and to be generous, and our facts didn't align with what God asked us to do. And it is uncomfortable, and it is scary, and it is nerve-wracking to think, well, if I'm going to obey you, God, then I'm going to have to stir the faith up that's in my heart. And see, what I'd realized is I had control over generosity. And I realized generosity was actually Mark-centered, not someone else-centered. I was, most of the time, the main beneficiary of my generosity, whether it be so I could look good, or I could feel good because of how it made me feel. But whereas I believe biblical generosity at the heart of that is God and other people. Amen. And likewise, do we get to decide what true stinginess is? And do we get to, as we invite God, or do we allow God to decide what stinginess is? So let's talk about the first offering that we see in the Bible. It's Genesis 4:3. And it says, when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. And a reason why I bring this particular passage of scripture up, even as the first mention of an offering in scripture, is because I want to highlight the difference between Abel's offering and Cain's offering. The difference between Cain and Abel's offering was that Abel's offering had faith. That was the one difference. Abel's offering had faith in his offering, whereas Cain just bought an offering because that's what you do, or that's what's expected. I don't know about you, but sometimes on autopilot, that's how I bring my offering. It's just, I just do it. But I believe there should be a measure of faith. Hebrews 11:4 says this, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man and God showed him his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead and still speaks to us by his example of faith. Now, this is my main revisited thought, which I really believe is for us today as a church. And it's a quote that you might be able to see on the screen if I did put it there. Generosity is an amount that can be inspired by need, motivated by love, and determined by faith. Generosity is an amount. It is an amount. And it can be inspired by need. There are lots of moments in my life where needs and opportunities have been presented and I respond. It can be inspired by need. It can be motivated by love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It can be motivated by love. I want my kids on Christmas morning to wake up and be so excited about the Christmas presents that I give them. But I don't give those Christmas presents with conditions of chores and homework and good report cards. I give that because I love my children. I want them to have things and enjoy things. Amen. That's what Christmas morning is about. Jesus. Inspired by need, motivated by love, and determined by faith. You see, the first two just require me. Could only just be me. Inspired by need and motivated by love. But when your generosity is determined by faith, now you are inviting God into your definition of generosity. Your definition of generosity no longer belongs to you. It is now something that you have invited God into. And listen, don't get me wrong. I have been inspired by need and I have been motivated by love to be generous to people. And I will continue to be inspired by need and motivated by love. And yes, we should be generous in our response to need. And yes, we should be generous in our response to love. But ultimately, we should be generous because of our faith. Generosity should be on a foundation of faith. And so when I'm thinking about generosity, I am now taking time to include God into the process of what true generosity is. And when I say true generosity, I don't mean a dictionary definition. I mean a biblical definition of what generosity is. Because it belongs to God. In fact, just a fresh, friendly reminder, everything you own belongs to God. And everything that you've been able to attain is because of the gifts and the talents that God has given you in the first place. And so the definition of generosity should belong to God. And it's our faith that determines what true generosity is. Yes, I respond to need. Yes, I respond to opportunity because of love. But I determine generosity by faith. Generosity is an amount that can be inspired by need, motivated by love, and determined by faith. And yes, generosity, and some might say, should come from the heart. Amen? Right? I agree. But it also can be an expression of faith. Some might say generosity is all about the heart. And sure, I agree with that as well. But let's look at what the Bible has to say about the heart. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Amen? Okay, so we must decide in our heart. But that's, if you just took that one scripture from the Bible and that was your only approach to generosity and neglected every other scripture, then I believe you would have an unhealthy and potentially missing different elements of what true generosity is. The Bible also says in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. And again, don't get me wrong, we should be generous because of need. And we should respond to need. We should be generous because of love, because of how much we love someone. But I believe it is as equally important for our giving and our generosity to be determined by faith. Ellie and I have a really good testimony of this. And I just want to say, because we're obviously, if you're new here, don't feel any obligation to give to the building that we're, to express generosity and faith to the building that we are, the season that we're in. Please feel free to cheer us on as God is taking us on this journey. But I just want to say the opportunity that we have is actually incredible. This opportunity is amazing. And I thank God for the people who sowed in that church for many, many years to get it to the place where the baton is passed over to us and we can continue to spread the name of Jesus and see his name lifted up on that hill in Jesus' name. Amen. But the fact that we are getting this building with only 5% down, with 3 years interest-free that goes straight to at the principal, this is God. They're being very generous to us. Yes. Amen. I pray that our generosity meets their generosity. Yes. Our faith rises up. You know, I never really felt like I was supposed to encourage people to give. It sounds really crazy right now. It's not what I really felt like God say to do. I felt like God say encourage people to be generous. To have, because generosity is not just an act. Generosity is a spirit. It's who we are. It's because when you invite Jesus into your heart, you have invited the most generous, the definition of generosity into your heart. And so there should be evidence of that coming out of you because of who Jesus is. Amen. And so it's not lost on us as a church of this opportunity that we have. So Ellie and I, we, in a former life in Australia, our church went into a building scene. And before I share our little testimony here, I want to share a quick verse, and many of you are familiar with this. It's Mark 12:41. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who were making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. So Ellie and I, we had just gotten married, and somewhere into this journey, our church decided to do a building renovation upgrade for expansion. The church was growing, wonderful things were happening. At the time, I was working in Sydney on the docks as a as a wharfie, which is what we call in Australia. They basically talk like pirates, and it's a wonderful place to work. And it's union run, so you earn a lot of money. It's really good, triple time, quadruple time, and you're always on strike for some reason. I don't know, someone spills milk, we go on strike. That was what it was like. It was a wonderful season. I was earning so much money, I didn't own a washing machine. I just bought new clothes, just replenished them. It was living the dream, pretty much. It was wonderful. And the church goes into this building and says, now Ellie, she was a pastor, so she was on staff, so she was... She was living the same dream I was living, but. So Ellie and I are now married, and the church is going into this building program. And I said to God, I'm preaching here, we believe that faith is part of generosity. I said, I want you to go away and ask God what you believe God would have us as a married couple give to this church building. And then I'm going to go into another room and I'm going to write down what I believe that God was. Now, the figure was uncomfortable that I put down, but I really believed it was God. I really did. So I went over to Ellie and I said, I wrote it down and you write down yours. And we did a reveal party. And right at that moment, we both opened our thing and it was exactly the same figure. So we really believed this was God, that we'd heard from God. Okay, maybe we're crazy, maybe we're not. But for us in our place and our walk with God, it was confirmation. And so that's all good and fantastic. And then tragedy struck. I decided to get on a skateboard and go and pick up our honeymoon tickets. And so actually this was just before we got married. And on the way to going to get the tickets, I got on a skateboard. I'm flying down a hill at about 30 miles an hour. I didn't see a change in the road. My skateboard flipped out and I broke this arm in 18 places. There's a nice little picture there of the break in my humerus. The humerus looks bad, but it's actually the elbow exploded and got destroyed. That was the kind of the complication. And they put some stuff in there to fix it. And not good. Not a good thing to happen. What that financially meant for us was I went from Ellie thinking I'm rich to me thinking Ellie's rich. That was the change that took place. In fact, what happened was I went from the rich people giving out of their surplus to the widow with two mites. And now I was faced with a dilemma because I believe God had spoken about that figure. And guess what? We now couldn't afford that figure. And we were in a situation where there was a conflict between faith and reality. It was at war with each other. And I had to make a decision. Did I really hear God? And am I going to trust God? Or am I going to take control of the situation and navigate this thing on my own and do it myself? And so we decided to trust God. Ellie had to literally go back and rework our whole budget. Looking at the end of the day, basically we didn't have enough money to buy a can of Coke. What it basically meant with this new budget was no eating out, no vacations, no new clothes. I had to buy a washing machine, no saving for our own home. And it was nothing. It meant that everything was gone. In fact, I remember one of the first times we gave, because we spread the amount over, I think it was 2 years, or maybe a year, we spread the amount out and we did the first installment. And the day after the first installment, we get a bill for $236. And that was, I remember it because it was $236 more than we had. We didn't have enough money for it. And we just would cry out to God because I believed that God had spoken. So we were trusting in Him. So we prayed, we believed, and Ellie went down to get the mail the next day. And I want to say something here. We didn't broadcast our circumstance to everyone because I didn't want to make my problem and my faith challenge someone else's faith challenge. This was the journey God was taking us through. And so no one knew. And then funny enough, Ellie was checking the mail the very next day and there was a check that came in the mail for $236. The exact amount of the bill that we couldn't afford to pay. How good is God? How good is God in the little detail? What really blew me away was the check came from a different state. And it's called Adelaide, which is known as, for the Australians in the room, the city of churches. So a check came from another state so that we could give to our local church and continue to do what God has done. And I can tell you, every time we've put God first, God has consistently, faithfully, has taken us through from strength to strength. Sometimes we've gone without. And I want you to know that that same spirit of generosity that was started in our heart as a small seed way back when is still in our heart today. Ellie and I are still sacrificing. So, and again, this is not for bragging sake, and I don't do this, but it's for accountability. Ellie and I have given the most we've ever given the church last year. And this year we're on track to do the same. We are continuing to be generous in terms of what God, because we believe in what's this opportunity that God has put in our hand. Amen? Amen. And for us, that sacrifice meant that we decided as a family, maybe Oscar wasn't part of that decision, but we decided that instead of having a vacation back in Australia this year, we would have a vacation, a stay vacation in Walnut Creek. That was our decision to do, so that we could see this thing come to pass. Galatians 5:25 says, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." So this is why I invite the Holy Spirit into this process and into my definition of generosity, because, you know, it tends to be some of us have never experienced a miracle because maybe we've never needed a miracle. We've never stepped out and trusted God in a way that we've never trusted Him before. Sometimes we've just, maybe society and the culture in which we live right now has brought us to a place where we don't need to depend on God because there's enough supply and there's enough, you know, it's until you go through a hard season, it's until you go without that you realize how much God has actually been carrying the whole way through what God has called us to do. And so I never want to let my heart grow cold and become complacent and not even thoughtful or mindful of the call and the reason why God has us in this area. It's not so that we can just live with the niceties of this area. We're on a mission here to see people's lives changed, to see people encounter Jesus. That's why God has called us to, and that's why God has called you to this place, not to just live comfortable, but to share this good news. Amen. Well, I want to kind of turn into from that story now to the story of what God is telling in this house. Tuss did a wonderful job last week of articulating some of the practical needs of where we are at as a church. And we're going to continue to do this maybe over the next couple of Sundays because escrow is coming up and we're about to go into the buildings.
Thanks again for taking the time to listen to one of our podcasts. If you were blessed, please follow and share.